Yes, can I speak to a news editor, please?
1 second.
Thank you.
Also, who's calling?
Robert Gibbs.
1 second.
Newsroom.
Yeah, am I speaking to a news editor?
Yes, sir.
Are you familiar with the case of Robert Gibbs?
Robert Gibbs. I am not.
Okay, in 2015, I was arrested for allegedly making multiple criminal threats against law enforcement in Shasta County. Do you remember that case? It was September 11th, 2015.
Let me check here. I don't remember off the top of my memory.
It's Googleable. If you just Google probably Robert Gibbs, Shasta County, or Reading Searchlight, Robert Gibbs.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Are you seeing it?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Look, my phone is about to die. I am in danger of imminent arrest. Everything I'm about to tell you is not only true, but I can prove it, okay? But I need you to try to listen and try to help me if you can, okay? Shasta County has exiled me to Fresno using Penal Code 3003. They put me in jail for 3.5 years. They abused me in the jail. I have a long history of mental illness. They did not help me with my mental illness. They put me in administrative segregation. The guards absolutely abused me the entire time I was there. Can you put into your search bar ShastaCountyWars.com, all lowercase, all one word?
Yeah, 1 second.
Okay. Scroll down and just briefly read the paragraphs after the pictures of the local sheriffs, what I say about them.
You said in the search bar of...
No. What? Are you on the site? Are you on Shasta County Wars?
Wars?
ShastaCountyWars.com. All one word, all lowercase.
Oh. Let's see.
It's a website. It'll come right up.
There we go. Yep, I'm on it.
Okay. If you scroll down, you're going to see pictures of Sheriff Bocinco with numerous deputies. You're going to see pictures of Fish and Wildlife. You're going to see pictures of the district attorney. You're going to see pictures of deputies from the jail. And after each paragraph, or after each picture, you're going to see a paragraph that says things about them abusing people in the jail, them using excessive force, them basically falsely arresting me several times, the fact that I had 12 lawyers and none of those lawyers would prepare a defense. So essentially after 3.5 years in the jail, I allowed them to coerce a plea out of me. They ended up, when I got out, they let me out for 10 days and then they called me to parole and they said, you're being sent to Fresno pursuant to 3003 PC. 3003 PC gives parole the discretion to move someone to another county while they're on parole if they deem that that person is a threat to that particular community, okay?
Okay.
They did that because Shasta County was basically requesting that they do that, okay? That is basically illegal. That's basically unconstitutional because it's a parole discretion. It's something that they wouldn't have done on their own. And for Shasta County DA to pull strings to get parole to do that was not only not technically proper, but it also, I have a lot of evidence, a lot of people have said that essentially it was vindictive, that they were doing that to further punish me, right?
Okay.
So I have had several conversations with my parole agent down here, and he has basically admitted to me that he thinks that it was not proper, that it wouldn't have happened in any other case, that it wouldn't have happened for criminal threats. And he's said, he's numerous times he's basically admitted, all but admitted, I mean, he's gone right up to admitting that essentially it's political. For instance, one of the things he's told me several times, and I have proof of this, one of the things that he's told me several times is that the reason that they sent me to Fresno was because my quote-unquote victims were law enforcement, okay? Now, they're claiming that they're afraid of me, they're afraid I'm going to attack them, etc. I've told them several times, I've told them many times that I'm not going to attack those people, that the alleged threats that I made, first of all, were not criminal threats, and second of all, were basically rhetorical. In other words, I was asking the question because they were getting my lawsuits thrown out, and they were denying, they were basically hiding behind the law because they had false arrested me and I'd sued them. So I basically was saying that rhetorically speaking, if we cannot avail ourselves to the courts fairly, if the courts are not going to hear grievances fairly, that basically only leaves us the option of quote-unquote revolution or quote-unquote attacking the police or some sort of confrontation with the police. They arrested me for that. They knew the whole time, they had a transcript of that conversation, and I can send you that transcript, and nowhere in that transcript are criminal threats. Every time I pointed out to my lawyer that there was no criminal threats on that transcript, they refused to challenge it. Okay, I had 12 lawyers, and none of them would prepare. They all told me it was bullshit. They all agreed with me that it wasn't right, but they wouldn't. They ultimately didn't challenge it, whether it was because they wouldn't or they just never got their shit together or whatever. But they just kept coming to see me every couple of months in the jail and saying they were going to do things, they were going to investigate, and then they just didn't. So I went through 12 lawyers. So they finally, I'm sitting in the jail. They broke my nose in the jail. They assaulted me in the jail. I had several witnesses that gave signed depositions. That's all on the website, by the way. If you look at the document library, you can pull up Assault by Web, and you'll see a little packet of information in there where the first thing you see is where they charged me with resisting executive officers. Then the next thing you will see is numerous declarations signed under penalty of perjury from other inmates in the unit who claimed that Webb went in my cell and assaulted me, and that I did not resist him in any way, and that I did not threaten him. There's also depositions in there that said that Webb threatened to kill me. What ended up happening is I went to court that Friday, and I was all covered in blood, and I railed at Judge Flynn, and the public defender came over and started taking pictures of me because I had a broken nose, I had blood all over my face, I had blood all over my clothes. When the jail realized that that the public defender was becoming involved, they made a second report about 48 to 60 hours later. Basically, they had made one report. Then they had gone off shift for 12 hours or whatever. Then they came back on shift, and at the end of that shift, they put in another report. This is the report that got me charged with resisting executive officers. They changed the reports. If you read the reports, they don't read like they're truthful. They don't seem to make any sense. Okay, basically his excuse was that he says that I lunged up off of the bunk and ran my face into his elbow. That's what he says. That's what he says in the... So you'll also see in there a letter that I wrote to Cody Jones, Deputy DA, like within a couple of days, and I railed at her. And I said, I don't care what you charge me with. No jury in the world is going to believe that. I have all of these witnesses. They're all willing to testify. And I told her the true story. And I told her, you need to charge that cop for assaulting me and fire the other cop who was standing there who did nothing. Not charge me with resisting executive officers to cover up what they did. Well, after 3.5 years in the jail, again, I have mental illness. They have me in administrative segregation. They're verbally abusing me. They're retaliating against me. They won't let me see my daughter, my 5-year-old daughter, who was two years old to 4 years old while I was in the jail. They wouldn't let me have my visitation rights to see my daughter in the jail. I fought and fought and fought in family court. Now they're not letting me go to family court because I'm in Fresno. They're not communicating with me. This is a violation of my rights to access to the courts. So I've created this website because I have a great deal of documentation, not just what you see on there. That site is about one-tenth built of what I have. I have all sorts of other documents, letters from me, statements from people talking about what happened. If you study that at all, it will really become clear that Shasta County has been retaliating against me for about 5 years. So I'm down here, and my parole agent is telling me that the only way to get back to Shasta County is to do what's called a 602 appeal, which is a parole appeal. And I'm telling him, well, you know, I'm going to do that, but I honestly feel like they're going to override anything that the appeals people say because they're going to make sure that I don't go back to Shasta County because it's essentially political. Now, again, my parole agent is essentially agreeing with that. He says it's not political, quote-unquote not political, but he admits that this wouldn't be happening to me if, quote-unquote, my, quote, alleged victims were not law enforcement. So I have a 5-year-old daughter that I haven't seen in 4 years, and her mother is a child molester, and she basically has custody by default. I had about 12 lawsuits against Shasta County in the courts. I haven't been able to prosecute them because essentially I've been down here. I've been homeless. I'm suffering from extreme clinical depression because I'm homeless and I'm in a strange place and everything that's happened to me. So I'm constantly talking to my parole agent about how unfair everything is and that they're basically continuing to punish me. He's admitting over and over again that if I go back to Shasta County, they will stick me in the jail and not let me out. Even though a parole violation is supposed to be 90 days, what he's saying they'll do is they'll lock me up for 90 days, and then if I don't agree to go back to Fresno, they'll lock me up for another 90 days, and then another 90 days, and then another 90 days. He's admitted to me several times that under parole's guidelines, it amounts to essentially a parole violation that should carry about 10 days in the jail. So in other words, it's a violation. I should go to jail for 10 days. And then he's told me that if you violated and went to jail for 10 days, and then when it was time to get out, if you told them, look, I'm not going back to Fresno, this is according to him, what they should do is they should basically leave you alone and let you go home, okay, let you do your parole in Shasta County. But he's saying that essentially what Shasta County is going to do is to continue to retaliate against me, continue to pull strings, and basically if I go back there, they'll just stick me in the jail and leave me in there as long as they can. He's also told me that despite the fact that I'm doing good on parole and I'm in compliance, which he's told people that I'm in compliance, that I'm doing good, he's also told me that my review after a year to come off parole will also be influenced by these people and the fact that they're trying to keep me out of Shasta County. This is all highly illegal under Penal Code 3003. All 3003 says is if somebody is deemed by parole to be actually dangerous, okay? Now, usually what they use that for is, say I beat up my girlfriend, and then while I'm in jail, I tell people, as soon as I get out, I'm going to go beat her up again, okay? That's what Penal Code 3003 is for. What you have in this case is criminal threats that weren't criminal threats that were politicized, that because they arrested me, they could not admit that they had falsely arrested me. They had already falsely arrested me. They already knew that I was going to sue them. So they were just hiding it. They were just looking the other way. And they did this the whole time I was in jail. And now my parole agent is telling me today that I'm in imminent danger of arrest because they consider the fact that I'm telling this story on my website to be quote-unquote harassment of my victims. So you have a situation where you have someone who has First Amendment rights to tell his story and to tell what happened to him. You have a situation where many, many people disagree with what they're doing to me. You have a situation where I have accused them and they have all but admitted that this is basically bullshit, it's basically political, it's basically quote-unquote special treatment. And even to the point where they want to stick me back in a jail. Now I'm having a lot of emotional problems because of it, a lot of anger. This is why I'm calling my parole agent, is to tell him, look, I'm walking around, I'm incredibly pissed off. I want to see my daughter, I want to be able to go to family court, I want to be able to go to my home in Shasta County, and it's in danger of having trees fall on it because of the car fire, burnt roots of big trees in my yard, and they're going to fall on my cabin and destroy it, and it's a beautiful cabin. No one's there, no one's protecting it, my road's washing out because I'm not working on the road. And again, he's telling me, well, you can do this 602 process, but, you know, they're probably going to override it and not let you, which is not part of the 602 process either. So they're getting away. They're getting away with completely shitting on my rights and my, especially my Eighth Amendment right to be free from excessive punishment. They're punishing me so incredibly excessive. First of all, I did a six and a half year sentence in the jail. I did 3 years, 3 months. That's doubled up. That's 6.5 years. That's what I actually was sentenced to, was 6.5 years. Criminal threats carry 16 months, 2 years, or 3 years. If it's your first offense, it is presumed under the law that everything is concurrent. It is presumed that there's mitigation because of my mental health, because of, you know, it's a first offense, because this was essentially a civil dispute between me and the sheriffs, etc. They blew right by all of that. What they did was they left me in the jail till they coerced my plea, and it made an atmosphere the entire time where they had to prosecute me. They had to get a conviction at all costs because they had stuck me in jail for so long that they weren't going to get sued for sticking me in jail for 3 years. They were going to shove it down my throat. And even the lawyers that represented me were afraid to build a case for me. There was a case for me. There was the investigator found mitigating circumstances. I studied the law and showed them time and time again, I'm not guilty of this, I'm not guilty of this, we can prove this. Could you just build a case so we can go to trial? And they would not build a case. So I finally just allowed them to coerce me. And I told my lawyer when I finally pled no contest, I said, we're letting them do this so that I can get out of jail so I can tell people what happened to me. And he agreed with that, okay? Which technically was complete ineffective assistance of counsel. But like I told him, I don't blame you because he agreed with me that the case was political. He agreed with me that the court was not going to give me any relief. He agreed with me that my cases had not been built by the previous 11 lawyers. He agreed with me that he could not build my case in any kind of meaningful time frame, and that much of the evidence had disappeared because people had died, people had disappeared, they couldn't contact people, et cetera, et cetera. So I didn't get a defense. We have this situation where I cannot stop feeling the way I'm feeling, okay? And I cannot give cops a pass after everything that they've done to me. What they've done to me is so incredibly heinous that it's just ridiculous, okay? They're not letting me see my daughter, which is compounding the situation, because even if I could sublimate my feelings right now, they just keep coming up because every time I think about my daughter, I think about this. Every time I think about my daughter, I think, you know, I want to see my daughter. My daughter needs to see me. She needs to have her father in her life. So they have basically abused me. Imagine just beating the shit out of somebody every day and sticking them in a corner and daring them to fight back. We dare you to fight back. We dare you to get angry. And then that person keeps getting angry and saying, well, if you're not going to help me, if you're not going to give me a fair hearing, if you're just going to screw me over and screw me over, and you know what you're doing, you all but admit that you know what you're doing. If you're going to do that, I'm going to fight you. I'm going to attack somebody or whatever. Now, I'm not going to attack anybody. Okay, let's make that really clear. No matter how bad this gets, I'm not going to attack anybody. And I was never going to attack anybody. Okay? But I think it's a legitimate expression of my personhood to say, look, what you're doing to me is so extreme that you're creating all of these violent thoughts and this incredible rage in me that just doesn't go away. It just builds and builds and builds. Okay? And what do they do every time I try to explain that to them and get them to help me? They basically threaten to throw me in jail. And they keep calling it criminal threats. When they know it's rhetoric, they know it's rhetorical, they know it's political, they know I'm not threatening individual people, which is what's called for in the criminal threats. That's why their criminal threats against me originally was not good, was they had me on tape basically, you know, screaming, I'm gonna kill cops, I'm gonna attack the government, I'm gonna do this. But they had nothing in there that said, I'm going to attack person A or person B. And then what they did was they just alleged that I threatened person A and person B and person C. And then no one ever challenged it. So it just kept going through the courts. And I'm complaining the whole time. I'm complaining to my lawyers. Mm-hmm. I'm writing letters to people. And this is all going on this website. Okay, now these people are starting to see this website getting built, and they're pissed off. They don't want to be portrayed that way. Everything right. I've said on that website is absolutely 100% correct. It is absolutely 100% correct. Now, when I was arrested, I was on news all the way to Colorado, all the way to Washington, all over California. I was on nightly news a lot the first night, and even on the second night, I was on the news for quote unquote threatening to attack the Shasta community. Okay. When KRCR went to talk to my girlfriend because they wanted a statement from her, she ran in her house and slammed the door. She was at her boyfriend's house. She had left me and gone back to her boyfriend, and she ran in her house and didn't have anything to say. Now, I contacted KRCR a couple of times from the jail and basically told them I was willing to talk to them about what had happened, and I got no response. So you have the situation where what they're doing is irresponsible on all kinds of levels. Not only what they're doing to me, not only what they're doing to my daughter, but they're essentially making war on a person. And that person's fighting back by, if you read my website, I'm saying things like, you know, the government doesn't care about you. The government, you can't trust the government. These people have way too much power, and they will absolutely use it to abuse you. And then I'm giving examples from my case of all of the things that they did where they just broke the law, broke the Constitution, and in their zeal to just vindictively prosecute me. So this keeps coming to a head. It's not going away. It just keeps, they're going to either keep retaliating, and make no mistake, what they're doing is retaliating, okay? Now, it might not be where they hate me so much that every chance they get, they got to do something to me. It's not that kind of retaliation, but what it is they've created this situation that they don't want to admit, they don't want to address. And so every time that I come to them and say, you know, I've had enough, I want to go home, I want to see my daughter, and, you know, these are the thoughts I'm having, this is the emotionality, the rage that I'm dealing with, then it's just, nope, we'll put you back in jail, we'll do this, we'll charge you with a new crime, we'll do this. And just think about it. Just think about how abusive that is of government power for them to do that to somebody for years. I can't avail myself to the federal courts because I'm essentially down here, I'm homeless, so I don't even have a way to correspond meaningfully with the courts. All the lawsuits that I filed while I was in jail have all been quietly dismissed because I'm no longer communicating with the courts. I have a right to go to family court. My family court case is still open, and I have a right to avail myself to that and try to reunite with my daughter, but I can't do that from down here. The family court's not communicating with me down here. They're not sending me stuff from the court. And you know, I realize how difficult it is for a news agency to talk about these types of corruption cases and these types of abuse of power cases. But you can see by that website that this is only escalating. It's only getting worse. And what's going to happen is they're going to abuse me as long as they can on parole. They're eventually not going to have any parole authority over me. They're going to have to let me go. And then I'm going to be basically in Shasta, like, screaming at people. By then, I'll probably be completely fucking nuts, okay? I should be nuts already, considering what they've done to me. I've really tried really hard to stay calm and to fight them in a reasonable manner. But they don't see why I should fight them. because in their minds, they can just do what they do, and everyone's supposed to just take it, and no one's supposed to complain about it, no matter how heinous it is. Well, what they've done to me in my case is way beyond heinous. I have to fight them. I don't really have a choice, especially if I want to see my daughter before she's 8 years old, especially if I want to get back to my home, especially if I don't want to be made homeless in Fresno. They brought me down here, and right. they stuck me in a drug program. I haven't done drugs for years, and they knew that. And they stuck me, and they told me, we're sticking you in this drug program so you have housing. And I said, well, you need to give me regular housing because, you know, if I, for whatever reason, get kicked out of this program or whatever, or they don't want to deal with me because I don't do drugs or whatever, then you're violating my rights because you're making me homeless. They ignored that. Eventually, I was kicked out of the drug program because I demanded to have my cell phone because I was talking to my lawyers and trying to go through the federal court process. So I needed my phone to talk to people, and they didn't want to let me have my phone in this drug program. So they kicked me out. Then they put me in a mental health program, and I was asleep one night, and my roommate started opening up my pants and trying to fondle me. So I jumped up and I called the police and I told the police what happened. Well, that caused this huge row where they said that I was being quote unquote difficult because I complained that my roommate tried to molest me in my sleep, okay? And they kicked me out of that program. After that, I was living in a bush in Fresno. I had to fight them for a couple of months to go up and get a car that I have in Shasta County. I went up and got the car and came back, and then I was homeless in that car for a couple of months. They just can't do what they're doing to me, for one. For two, gotcha. the community should be demanding that they defuse this situation. That they defuse it. That they, you know, that they at least stop retaliating against me. They don't have to admit that they've been screwing me this whole time, okay? I can address that on my website. I can address that in federal court, whatever. But the community should be demanding that they stop pouring gasoline on a forest fire. Because that's what they're doing, okay? And it, whether it's technically legal under the law or not, whether this is coming from the top brass at parole or not, whether or not those cops are legitimately afraid of me, or just, you know, further punishing me because I've sued them, it doesn't matter. What matters is if Shasta County is a community, there needs to be other voices other than just the police. If you only allow the police to decide everything, they will pull shit like this. So I'm willing to answer any questions you have. I'm hoping that you will read what's on my website and look at some of those documents. I'm telling you right now that everything on there is truthful. I am aware of libel laws. I am not worried about a libel suit, although they're probably going to come after me for libel just because that's what they're gonna want to do. Okay. I called the Attorney General's office yesterday and I told them, I said, you have a false conviction here, and let me tell you how it's a false conviction, and you need to help me investigate it and prove what happened. And the facts are all there. It's not like I'm saying a story and it can't be proved or whatever. The facts are all there in the documents of the court itself. They never alleged anything that would make a criminal threat. They just kept saying that I made criminal threats. Okay? When I find, they didn't give me the transcript for 3 years.
I'm actually going to have to cut you off short here. Okay. So I have a lot of your information written down. Okay. I do have the website written down. I just need a phone number in case we need to contact you back.
Okay, 707-296-3908.
Mm-hmm. All right, you're right.
Can I just say one more thing? Sure. It doesn't matter what your personal views are. It doesn't matter what people think of me. It doesn't matter whether you support or don't support the police. What matters, what really, really matters, is that all of this has been done, and I don't think it's the will of the community. I think it's the will of Shasta Law Enforcement, but I don't think if the community was fully aware of what was going on, that they would support any of it. So that's what I'm asking you to do, is to try to figure out, you know, don't dwell on what law enforcement's opinion is on this, because obviously they have their opinion. Yeah. But ask yourself, what would someone else say about this? Would they not say that they're just basically punishing this guy with everything they've got? They're throwing everything but the kitchen sink at this guy? because allegedly he threatened to kill cops, but we don't even know the true story of what happened from that because we've never heard his side of the story. It never went to court. His lawyers never made statements. So if you want to ask yourselves those kind of questions and then get back with me and get some further information and try to figure out a way to expose what they're doing so that it stops. Okay?
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, I was on the phone with my parole agent earlier today, and I was just screaming at him, and I was screaming to just attack people, and that's not who I am as a person. But that shows you the level of rage that's in me that's just building and building and building because no one gives a damn about what's happened to me or my daughter. I'm just asking people to think of my perspective and say, well, you know what? He wants to come home and sell his land and move away from Shasta County, and he can't even do that.
Yeah.
We
have everything down here. Okay. And so I really have to go. I'm sorry, but like I have all your information down and I'll put it out and then we'll see where it goes from there.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.